open that up if it's available.
So, good morning, everybody. It's just now 9 o'clock, so we'll get started in a couple of minutes. So, 2-minute warning.
Why didn't we have the 2-minute warning 2 minutes ago before it was 9 a.m.?
Sorry?
Why didn't we have the 2-minute warning 2 minutes ago before it was 9 a.m.?
Because I just got settled.
Okay, good morning, everybody. If you could please take your seats so we can get started. And are we prepared for the recording to begin? Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm Keith Drazik, Chair of the Registry Stakeholder Group. Welcome to the Registry Stakeholder Group meeting on Tuesday, 24th of June, 2014, ICANN 50 in London. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We'll just go through a couple of notes, but I want to take this opportunity to see if anybody has any additions or changes or proposals to the agenda, things that we need to address today that may have come up over the course of the week. So we can make sure that we work that in at the appropriate time. Chuck, I saw your hand.
Thanks, Keith. And I haven't looked at the latest version of the agenda, so maybe these have already been added, but in case not. One of the things that we need to talk about is a selection of a person from the GNSO, from the Registry Stakeholder Group, that would be on the steering group, if in fact that steering group for the IANA transition happens the way that it's mapped out by staff. Secondly, would like to have David and I and Brett, although we haven't talked to Brett about this, just two or three minutes just to talk about the GNSO review, 360 review questions that I distributed a day ago. And not to go over them, but just to encourage people to participate and inform people what's happening, so that if anybody has any feedback for David or Brett or I on that GNSO review working party, we can have it. So, and we've got a little bit of time on that, but I'll talk more about that if we can have that on there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chuck. Any other additions, edits, or suggestions for today's agenda? So, John, go ahead.
Sure. I sent around an email yesterday. Did that make it on? I don't see the final.
So I've got it in my notes, but why don't you go ahead and tee that up for those that may not have read the email, or just in terms of what it is we'd like to discuss.
Sure. We have an opportunity as new registry agreement signatories, new registries, to open up a line of communications and negotiations on the registry agreement with ICANN starting July 1st, 2014, which is next week. So I just teed up whether we want to decide to invoke that provision or not. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, John. And for those that hadn't followed it, there was some exchange on the list yesterday on that topic. So if you need to sort of catch up before we actually have the conversation, please go back to the registry stakeholder group list. Okay, any other suggestions for the agenda? Okay, seeing none. So we just, as you could see probably from the agenda before you, at 9:15, so in 10 minutes, we will have ICANN staff from the GDD joining us. So we have 10 minutes to get through a few items before they do. It's probably worth chatting a little bit before they arrive. And I think Paul and I and some of the other members of the registry and NTAG XCOM can give a brief update about a meeting that we had with the GDD, Akram, Cyrus, Christine Willett, Krista, and a few others the night before last. It was actually a joint session from the registry, NTAG, and registrar XCOMs with those folks. And it sort of followed up the letter that we sent and was an opportunity for us to sort of exchange views and map out discussions for the week and plans for the future in terms of trying to work together to improve service delivery to the contracted parties and soon-to-be contracted parties. I think it was a very constructive dialogue that we had. It was 90 minutes, and I think it actually was good for, the three XCOMs to be in the room, and that was and from the NTAG, that was outgoing XCOM and incoming XCOM, so we had very good representation. So I just want to say that before we get into the discussions today with Akram and his team, I do feel like there was some positive momentum, or, maybe it's not yet momentum, but it was at least a positive engagement with those folks. So I hope we can continue on that and sort of focus on, constructive ways to engage. I hope that they'll, come and, basically, reiterate to the group here some of the things that we heard two nights ago. So with that, any comments or questions? Anything that we ought to talk about before our colleagues from ICANN arrive? Ken, go right ahead.
Yeah. We've been somewhat up in the air. Just how far? I'm sorry, Ken steps. We've been somewhat up in the air just how far up we're taking this. Now, I mean, if we're comfortable with the conversations we've had and the commitments we've gotten from Akram and Cyrus and so forth, do we rehash this whole thing again with the board? Or are we, the whole idea behind these conversations was predicated on trying to create an environment where we can get good cooperation from the GDD, and if we go too far at this point in time, they may feel we, put a knife in their back.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I think that's a great question or point. I think my response would be, I think that GDD service delivery and sort of the quest for operational excellence at ICANN in terms of delivery to contracted parties is absolutely something that we should raise with the board, but I think we should do it in the context of, you know, we have we've been having ongoing conversations. We sent the letter. We had a, you know, ICANN staff joined us on one of our calls. We actually had a special call to talk about these issues. We've had subsequent conversations, and it you know, we feel like there's constructive dialogue taking place, but that, you know, I mean, sort of the devil's in the details, and we need to, you know, we look forward to working through the issues and seeing results. And we're not quite at that stage yet, but I think constructive dialogue is the key. Ken?
Yeah, I agree with you, Keith. I guess what I like to see, when instead of just platitudes, I like to see us put some markers down. And this is something that the GDD needs to know, that we're going to be discussing this topic in Los Angeles with the board. They have an opportunity in the interim to make this discussion a very positive discussion in Los Angeles, filled with compliments about how responsive they've been and stuff like this. Or it can go the other way. If people sit on their butts and all we got were shallow promises, it's going to be a much more serious discussion with the board in Los Angeles. I don't think we are going to be patient enough to wait 6 months or a year for these changes that they talked about to happen. Does that make sense or what?
Okay, thanks, Ken. Donna, did I see your hand?
Yes, you did. Donna Austin, for the record. During the conversation we had with the guys on whatever day it was, there was a suggestion of, we've all seen the GAC advice scorecard, and I think ACRA mentioned something similar to that. So my understanding is that the all of the things that we pulled out in the work that Yasmin did will actually be transferred to a scorecard, and we will see progress against those. That was my understanding. If I've got it wrong, Christy, you seem to be a little bit... But I think that's what they plan to do.
Yeah, thanks, Donna. You're absolutely right. My sense, I think there was definitely a reference to sort of a spreadsheet or a scorecard-like approach. So I think specifically the sort of the experience with the board and the GAC was referenced. So I think that would be a very positive development if we were to see, you know, sort of a documented, trackable approach to addressing the issues that we've raised. So thanks. Yeah, thanks for raising that, Jordan.
I worry that we're at risk of working very closely and in very fine detail on specific issues and sort of losing track of, to channel Ken here, totally losing track of the forest for the trees. I think what we need to do is work with staff to establish some high-level metrics, whether customer satisfaction or, quality of the GDD as measured by some survey or something like that. We should figure out what those things are that we care about. But establish those as metrics and make sure that we agree on how staff is going to measure them, and then measure that progress over time. Now, there may be specific things that we also want to set milestones on, but I suspect if we work through a feature set in the GDD portal, or we worry about a specific failure of the CZDS, we'll get really good at reactively solving problems after they happen and not do very much at all about making sure that we continue to get good solutions before we gripe about them. So I think we really need to focus on high-level metrics and agreeing with staff on them and measuring them much more than trying to scorecard through individual complaints about individual things that have gone wrong in the past.
Thanks, Jordan. That's a very fair point, and I agree. I think the discussion that we took place, that took place two nights ago, I think was not specific to each one of the particular issues, but it was sort of more about structure, more about, as you said, metrics, the ability to, sort of have predictability. So I agree with you. We don't want to get, particularly in our conversation today, drilling down in the weeds of each one of these issues that we raised in the lengthy and very detailed letter. But I do think, we raised issues about predictability. We talked about SLAs, for example. We talked about wanting to have predictability in terms of the service delivery. And I think that I think the feedback that we got in that session was positive, but we need to keep pushing for that for sure. I agree that what we're trying to accomplish here is not just ticking off each one of these issues that was in the letter, although we certainly want them addressed. It's about improving at a higher structural level. Would anybody else like to jump in on this topic? I think we should have. I know Chris, I saw Krista. I'm not sure if everybody else is here, but anybody else? Anyone else that was in the joint XCOM meeting want to jump in and give some flavor? Okay.
Is it on? Okay. I'll jump in, Keith. It's Paul Diaz, alternate chair. One thing that's important is that, as Keith noted, it was a three XCOM meeting with staff, and the registrars, there's clearly overlap in some of the issues, but it is not a complete overlap. And it's very important to note that the registrars have had an awful lot of recent experience working very closely, negotiating, hammering out very hard-won terms with GDD staff, and that mindset still carries over. I don't want to cast it in a negative tone, but for us as registry operators and our NTAG colleagues, I think we come at it with a different perspective and maybe not as sometimes as well prepared. So to Jordan's point about not getting lost in the details, losing the forest for the trees, I think the issues that we want to make sure get addressed and how we strategize about working with staff to make sure that the needs are met, it's very important that we work closely together, that we have full and active participation. Otherwise, the proverbial divide and conquer will happen because we will not be speaking with one voice. We won't have a strategy to make sure what we need gets done. So this is a longer term debate issues, but the things that you all are passionate about, it's going to be very important that you clearly articulate, that you make sure that we're all in sync together. So as we continue to move forward, we are speaking as a group with one voice.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Okay, so we have Akram and Christine with us. Krista, I know you're here. Ash as well. Anybody else?
Okay.
If there's anybody else you'd like to have join us up here, feel free to invite them. We're having to use handheld microphones because of the setup of the room, so I can pass one down to you. Yeah. So welcome. Again, this is the Registry Stakeholder Group meeting, and appreciate your willingness to participate and to join us here today. Before you arrived, we had a brief discussion providing an update of the joint XCOMS meeting that we had with you and the GDD staff a couple of nights ago. And sort of just to set the scene, that I felt like we came out of that, it was a very constructive session, a very constructive dialogue. We very much appreciated the 90 minutes that we spent together. So I sort of gave my sense of the meeting, and maybe it would be helpful for you all to sort of describe your takeaways from the conversation, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think what we want to accomplish this morning and the time that we have together is to, look at the questions of service delivery, of predictability, and trying to find ways at a high level to work together to sort of make sure that we're all working together to accomplish the ability to serve the end user, the registrants.
Sure. Thank you, Keith. Thank you for having us here. There is no need to keep thanking us for attending these meetings. This is our job, so we are more than happy to be here. I think that the meeting that we've had with the executive committee was actually very helpful. It sharpened a lot of the issues that you guys are saying and that you'd like us to focus on. What came out of that is that we're all in agreement, I think, that there is a lot of work to be done, that the list is exhaustive, but it's actually very important. What I think we decided to do is that we are going to come back to you with almost a spreadsheet like we do with the GAC, where we list each one of these items. We provide maybe our view of priorities of these things, the plan of what we're going to do. We give you a pass at addressing the prioritization so that we know from your perspective what's more important and the prioritization of that, and then we can start working on these things. We also, I think, agreed that we will have intersessionals so that we don't wait too long to get updates on the progress there, and our goal is to actually get these things done as soon as possible. I think there was also a lot of good progress on a lot of areas. We talked about having people sign emails from the CSC so that you know who you're working with. We talked about account management. We talked about agenda planning. So that when we do these intersessionals, we give you a chance, or even here, when we meet here, we give you a chance to set the agenda so we know what's going on, and then that we could give you some documents ahead of time so that you can read those and be ready, so that we can discuss things and get into the details. What else? Or we discussed the webinars and having the ability to also set the agenda for the webinars so that we talk about the things that that are of interest to you. I think these are some of the things that we've talked about, but the list is there, and we're going to actually focus on that. And I think that Mike Pelage was making sure we hire enough people, so that's another.
Okay, thank you, Akram. And just a brief note. This is not our normal room setup. I expect that there's probably a microphone or a roving mic for those who aren't at the table. If there's not, we have an extra one up here. But I want to make sure this needs to be an interactive session. So if anybody has any thoughts or comments or questions, please feel free to take this opportunity to engage with Akram and his team. Jeff, and then Ken.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman. Just we've had a lot of meetings where I appreciate everything you're saying, Akram, and I appreciate the response. Can we get maybe a timeline? You know, when you expect to respond by. You know, one of the things that we expect with service delivery, we get notes all the time from compliance, right, that say XYZ is going on, you need to respond no later than 7 days, right? Can we get some sort of commitment from you all at this meeting of when you'll respond to that letter?
Sure. We're going to finish when here, end of the month. How about 2 weeks after we leave here? 3 weeks after we leave here. How about 3 weeks after the London meetings? Within 3 weeks from the London meetings. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Akram. Ken, go right ahead.
Yeah, this is kind of tying into some of the ancillary issues that popped up at this meeting. Krista, this refers to you. First, to express some concern about the fact that she felt that she's a resource that we're not using as often as we should. So what I'm going to make a proposal, and that is that it's almost a given in the future that for a certain period of time, Krista will be participating on these calls, and that it doesn't necessarily need to be structured. The most effective thing would be for us to try to prepare a list of issues that we want to talk to you about, Krista. But rather than having a formal presentation as to what, many times we just have this interaction, and a lot of these issues can get surfaced, and Krista needs to be somewhat empowered within the GDD to be able to get timely responses, because nothing is more frustrating than to get to one of the classic response, which we'll get back to you, and it isn't necessarily that Krista isn't getting back to us, it's that she may have sent something up the road to get responses back, and she's not getting them back to give them back. So I hope you understand what I'm saying, and I think it's just kind of and more free-flowing, I think you're going to get more done. If the only thing you're doing is coming on the conference calls to give presentations as to what we're doing for you today, we don't get as much interaction there. So I'm hoping that we can work something out between the XCOM and Krista as to how we'd like to have your participation. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Ken. Krista?
Thanks, Keith. Krista for the transcript. Krista Papik, ICANN staff. So thank you very much, Ken and the XCOM for that. I welcome the opportunity, and it's just, I know your calls, you guys cover a lot of topics. I don't want to crowd your call or be there the whole time. So if you can just specify what time you want, and if it's every call or every other call, I'll just get, we'll plan to be there. From my perspective, this is a two-way dialogue. So it's not just issues, which are not always issues. Sometimes it's just conversations. But from my perspective, like, the communication solves a huge percentage of what we're hearing. And I've talked to a lot of you one-off throughout the week about different issues or subjects that you guys have. And even just that dialogue, I think, has been helpful. And that's why I really do want to participate in these meetings, because it's a two-way conversation. I have information to share with you guys as well that will hopefully continue to build a relationship between you guys and ICANN and improve upon that relationship, but also give you guys more visibility into what we're doing rather than, only hearing about it at ICANN meetings. And, the webinars are great for pushing out information, but they're not there's a Q&A, but they're not the same type of dialogue as a meeting. And I think all of those formats are important. And so anyway, I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to it. And I'd also like to have members of the Registry Services team participate, because it's another place for you guys to get to know them better and what they're working on to support you as well.
Thanks, Krista, and thanks, Ken. This is Keith. I think if we haven't before, I'll say it again, I think we ought to have you on every Registry Stakeholder Group call. And we probably ought to just have that as a process moving forward. One of our challenges internally is that we've started to have rotating times for our calls to try to accommodate the geographical and time zone diversity now growing within our stakeholder group. So that might mean that you're joining calls at odd hours, California time, but we certainly want to have you on the calls, and it ought to be a regular thing. It ought to just be sort of on the books. And so Paul and I will take the action item to make sure that you're invited and that there's communication about the topics that we would like to discuss in advance. So there's an opportunity to prepare. So thank you. Thanks for that, Krista. And thanks, Ken. Jordan?
Sure. I'm a little sick, so not talking well today. I have a few different thoughts. First, just in regards to this last discussion, I worry a little bit that we're overloading the function of the stakeholder group, which I view as it's a part of a policymaking organization, which is the GNSO. It's not. Often we do end up with operational issues circulating up here, but there are many, both TLD operators and applicants, who are not active participants in the stakeholder group because they don't feel like they want to be part of the policymaking process, which is fine. But they shouldn't also be left out of operational issues as well. So I think ICANN if the intended path of communication with the registry community is through the stakeholder group, which is fine. I think you need to be very clear elsewhere that that's the case, and that if people want to get frequent updates on what's going on with, and that sort of dialogue, that they should be participating actively in the stakeholder group. Or you may want to consider having, like you said, the webinars sort of have Q&A, but they're not really intended for dialogue. I don't know why you couldn't have a biweekly, like, hey, let's talk about operational stuff with the registry community sort of meeting. That's not just there to push stuff out, but it's there explicitly to have dialogue with your customers. So that's first. Looks like you want to respond before I jump in. Oh, sorry, the last thing I was going to mention, in related to that vein, during the application phase, you guys had a really awesome FAQ section where people would send in questions, and then you would post the answer to the question so that everyone could see, so you wouldn't have to do all these sort of one-off interactions with people in order to get information out. So it seems like doing something like that, again, would be really helpful as well. And I have two other comments, but I'll wait for you to react to this first.
Thanks for the... Krista again. Thanks, Jordan. So I'm not saying that's the only form of dialogue, is just with you guys. We do have the webinars, which also pushes out information. Many of you know who are already registry operators. Some of the other stuff we do, like the welcome kit and other things, get pushed out to you as forms of communication. So I think I don't mean that as that's the only dialogue. You guys just happen to have very specific questions that you do come to us with. People that are not members of the RYSG also come to us with very specific questions, and we dialogue with them one-off as well. But I think the webinars also have a very good purpose. That's part of it, is for the people who aren't members of this to hear information about what ICANN is doing and how they're doing it and what's coming and all of that stuff. And we'll continue to use those for that piece of the dialogue.
Okay. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Krista. Jonathan, go ahead.
Yeah, Jordan hasn't finished his points. He wanted to make three points, but I just wanted to pick up on his first one. It's Jonathan for the recording. The GDD people remember with our XCOM meeting, I highlighted this point where I feel, in a way like Jordan does, there's a sort of blurring of the lines. We've got a responsibility within the GNSO to do this collective policymaking work, and then separate to that, we've got an entire operational relationship with you. And I think between us both, we have to start to figure out how to treat those as separate tracks of work, whether or not we have a discussion on them in the same meeting or not. But the one is, as I discussed with you when we met, one is a firm, near-term customer relationship where we have real operational dependencies on the work you do. And the other is a more... longer term, where we digest our work through policies and I just think we've got to make sure we, all of our minds segment these different things, and they've somehow become blurred in ways where we're probably better off crystallizing and separating them. And I think that's why I just want to pick up on Jordan's first point there, because it resonated with the point I had made to you when we met, and it seems to be something we've got to work at. Thank you.
So thanks, Jonathan. This is Keith. I guess my reaction to that is, yes, clearly there's a difference between service delivery and sort of the customer relationship, if you will, that you've described, and the policy making. But, this part of our agenda is with the GDD. This is our opportunity to talk about sort of the implementation. And again, we're start talking about policy and implementation, and where does that sort of come together, or where is that line drawn? Some of what we're talking about here is the implementation of policies that have been developed, making sure that the service delivery is there to support it. So I completely agree. The registry stakeholder group is part of the policy-making structure, but it's also the venue for registries as contracted parties and applicants as soon-to-be contracted parties to engage with the ICANN staff. So, I agree that there's a distinction between the two, but at the same time, I think this is the appropriate venue for having this conversation.
So I think that you guys are hitting on an important issue. I think it's a fact that the things are blurring because we have multiple hats, and at least you have multiple hats, and it's not really comprehensive, as Jordan said, that everybody that is a customer is participating in the registry stakeholder group, and therefore there is a superset that we need to address. when we talk about customer issues and operational issues. Yet at the same time, we need to continue to work with you because you represent probably the largest majority of these customers. So it's an easy venue to come to discuss these operational issues. And I don't know how to separate the two efficiently and make it better. But maybe the Jordan's suggestion of a regular meeting that is customer meeting on operational issues and not call the registry stakeholder group meeting could, you know, at least in nomenclature differentiate between the two. Bi-weekly seems to me that it's very frequent. By the time we collect the questions, prepare the answers, and you know, we do the meeting, then we have to rev around and do another one. There is not much time to do work and get updates. So maybe it's a monthly meeting or something like this. We can find a way to resolve that. But I agree, we need to be more comprehensive in this meeting than just the registry stakeholder group. I think the typically NTAG is participating here, but I don't know if even that is comprehensive enough to get everybody on the customer side engaged.
Okay. Thank you, Akram. And I know one of the things that's come up a couple of times on recent calls or meetings is that we haven't had sort of an intersessional regional registrar meeting like we did in Amsterdam a year and a half ago now, that I think that, you know, as you know, contracted parties, I think that was those events, I think, are very useful, and we'd like to see those introduced again at some point. I had Ching in the queue, and then Krista.
Thank you, Keith. This is Ching Chao from Dot Asia, and thank you, Akron and the GTT team on the update. And I just want to reemphasize again what's being brought up in the GNSO weekend session about the translation, I mean, services. I'm thank you for the offering that I think just like to give, I mean, everybody a heads up here is that we potentially would request or actually send out a notice and to see if anyone in the room that would be interested in the translation services that you might be able to offer. You mentioned about probably a low level of, I mean, utilization in the past. I simply want to respond is that I mean, even it's low, but if it can help one or two customers potentially there, maybe smaller customer this time, but potentially if the service is there, the translation is done right, potentially brings in new, but potentially more business. To you. So I'd just like to emphasize again, I would send out a list of potentially if any of us would like the registry agreement or the AGB to be translated into six different UN languages. I think there's a way to kind of to escalate, I mean, the services. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. I wanted to respond to the intersessional comments that you made, but I'm actually going to respond to what you just said, Ching. We actually have a project for translations on the team. Akram, I think, mentioned it. I think it was the GNSO session about asking you guys to help us prioritize the documents, which was a great suggestion, and I actually took a note of it in there because we sort of prioritize them internally, but we should be coming to you. The registry agreement actually is just about to finish translation with the I should know this, but I don't. It's five or six UN languages, whatever the number is. And then we'll get that posted. And I think even Fadi talked about to the GNSO about considering what some other languages that might be useful. So maybe we can have a dialogue about that as well. But that's the one we started with. And I'll have the team member that's responsible for translations figure out a good way to collaborate with you guys on prioritizing documents that make sense. Some documents, I think the usage would be so low, it might not make sense. But we actually are actively working on that. And thanks. Regarding the intersessional. So I know this came up, I think it was the XCOM meeting. I've heard mixed feedback about what you said, Keith, and so this is not as much about intersessional or not, but more about the format of some of the registry and registrar regional meetings that we used to have. I've heard people say they didn't think they were very useful, and I think maybe that was more of a format thing than the engagement piece of it. There's a couple of things there. I know Akram talked about intersessionals being more like a meeting like we had the other day, but with a bigger group of people. And then additionally, and we'll talk about this in tomorrow's session on registry operator engagement, but we're also developing a program's not the right word, but something like a program, workshop that we're calling Registry Roadshow, where we're going to go out into the the three hub offices to do a registry. It's going to be registry focused, kind of an effort to help educate new registries about their responsibilities with ongoing operations and startup and all of that. The reason that one's not registrar is the registrars actually just did this last year with the 2013 RAA and the workshops they did. So there's a number of efforts underway. One is already underway. The other came as a result of the conversations we've been having with you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Krista. I have Jeff and then Jordan.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman, and I'd love to actually get to the agenda items, because I think we're spending a lot of time kind of talking about overall issues, but there's some deep frustrations and concerns. We'd love to get to some of the details on there, like auctions and name collisions and stuff. On the intersessional, I agree. Krista, the feedback you got was based on the format. It was more like, let's just repeat and let's just summarize what happened at the previous ICANN meeting, as opposed to a working session. So whatever we call it, I think there's support here, and if anyone disagrees, but I know we talked about it on calls, there's definitely support for a working-type meeting of registries and registrars on a number of the operational issues that exist today and I'm sure will exist going forward. So I would say, at least here, to voice our support that, yes, we should have a working meeting, whatever we call it, different format than what existed before, but let's get together more often. I'm not sure what's the result of the meetings committee and the new structures of what the three ICANN meetings are going to do, but we certainly need regular working sessions.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Agreed that we want to get to the more specific items on our agenda. Jordan, you're next, but before I hand it off to you, there's apparently only two microphones in the room, so I'm going to hand this one over to everybody else, and we'll share the one at the front of the room. So if anybody else wants to join in and provide input, feel free. Jordan?
Yeah, briefly, and this will encompass some of the topics later, so we can perhaps come back to these suggestions. But I do think I'd like to suggest two fairly actionable commitments that I hope I could think about or maybe even make today. That I think would go a long ways to reducing the frustration that was expressed, that Jeff just alluded to, that's coming up in the agenda and or was expressed in the GDD letter, et cetera. I think just a commitment to, when there are significant operational failures, to commit to a prompt response in terms of providing a postmortem within a week or something like that, some sort of committed timeline. Just as compliance expects us to respond back with root cause analysis and so on, I think it's not a hard thing to do. It makes your customers feel a lot better that, you know, you're not just sort of papering over the issues as they occur. And it's, from an operational perspective, a really good practice in terms of making sure that we aren't repeating the same sorts of issues over and over again, or at least discovering them in different systems without appropriate follow-up. So I think just a commitment to timely responses with postmortems to significant operational failures would be one thing that you guys could do, that you could just commit to, that would be a significant improvement and would probably reduce a lot of frustration from this end. And then my second suggestion is that, and I keep saying this, it's going to probably get really tiring, but I think if we had a commitment for how we were going to work with ICANN in the very short term, with the GDD in the very short term, to establish some meaningful metrics that both you and we agree measure whether you guys are doing a good job or not, at least from our perspective, would be super helpful. And I think you could rapidly start to, when you come to the next meeting and we're yelling at you and you say, but wait, we agree these 1, 2, 3 things are the things that you really care about and we're working on, and they're high level and they're appropriate, you know, measures of what you want from us, and look, we're doing really well, we're measuring them, here's how we're doing, or, you know, you guys can come to us ashamedly and say, ah, we let you down, we're not doing that well in these metrics, here's why, and here's what we're going to do. I think that would help the dialogue a lot as well. But right now, you guys are left to sort of deal with us getting angry at each individual random thing that happens, and we don't have a common understanding of what we're all trying to achieve together. So I think a commitment to very quickly working with us to figure out what those metrics should be, I think would help this dialogue a lot as well.
Okay. Thanks, Jordan. I think that's a great suggestion. You know, we talked at the joint session two nights ago about SLAs, you know, sort of, you know, measurable service delivery. So I think your point about metrics and an agreed to set of sort of expectations or standards, I think, is completely reasonable and appropriate. Christine?
Thanks, Keith. Christine Ouellette. I think what we also need to do is begin sharing the metrics and the measurements we already have and which are in place with you. So we do measure what we do, not just what metrics are not just about what you do. It's about how you do it, the quality, the responsiveness, the timeliness. So I think we need to begin sharing with you what we already have in place internally, and then get your feedback on that, as well as I'd love to hear from you on other things that you'd like to get visibility to. And I think you've got a session later today to talk about some of the metrics at a higher, broader level within ICANN. But thanks for that suggestion.
Thanks, Christine. Okay, with that, we probably ought to move to, as Jeff recommended, to the more detailed agenda. So, you know, we spoke about the issues raised in the GDD feedback letter, and that we, you know, Akram, you referenced the intention to come up with sort of a scorecard and responding within a few weeks to, you know, get back to us on details there. But there are other, I think, sort of, I guess, topics that we'd like to discuss. So we have the list here. We included, you know, CZDS, RCEP issues, auction, name collision, process developments. So I'm going to open it up to the room and ask people to raise their hands and get in the queue. The roving microphone is over there next to Jonathan. Jeff, go right ahead.
Thanks. I want to address the name collision topic on there, because I think if you polled every at least the NTAG and the registries, the new registries out there, I think this is like the top of the list. And I'm going to repeat myself from yesterday at the name collision session, but I think it's important enough. So I'm glad that we have a path forward, or a proposed path forward that was presented yesterday, and I think that's a good path forward. Essentially, of proposing to the board, sorry, some feedback. The what's in the JAS report and some specifics in there. There were a couple details I'm sure that'll get brought up, but what I want to talk about is the process to actually implement it, and just make a reference to the fact that we've been waiting a very long time to get resolution to this. And I know that there's a lot of things that need to happen for efficiency's sake and processes, but I want to be clear that when this is approved by the NGPC as a registry and a back-end registry operator for others, we want to implement it that day. We don't want to have to go get invited by the portal to be asked to submit a form, and that form contains our plan for implementing it and a promise to do X, Y, and Z and another contract amendment. And then we have to wait for several weeks to get it signed and go through another process and then get affirmation that the person who signs it is actually still authorized to sign that type of agreement. I mean, this can go on for weeks and months, as we've seen with other processes, and it's not to downplay those processes, but we've been waiting a very long time. It's very important the day that that's approved for all of us to actually be able to implement it right away. So whatever you can do to think about how to do that, to make sure when the decision comes down the next day, if you're already delegated, you put those names into the name collision list, into the controlled interruption, or and so on, so we don't have to keep doing those forms. And the more specific issue is on the new thing that was brought up by Francisco yesterday about
requiring registries to take down names within 2 hours of ICANN telling you to, for the life of the rest of the contract, for basically infinity. I think we do need to talk about that because that's not something I think that was contemplated by the reports. So thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Let me just address this very quickly. So we have the we have been thinking about that even a month back on how we're going to implement this immediately. We will call it the Jeff implementation plan from now on. So we actually have been monitoring all the lists on a daily basis in the collisions list. So we already have the ability to collect when you put the loop back on your. So if you're doing the strings one by one, we'll be able to monitor that. And if you do the wildcard because you're a new registry, then we'll be able to monitor that immediately. We'll see when you actually, how long you've done it, and when you take it out and register it. And if everything is okay, it should work. If there are any issues, we will know. So I think the implementation from that perspective will enable you to take these collision names from the list and implement the mitigation fairly rapidly. So we have that in mind. As soon as we get it ratified, we want to be able to let you know that you can actually implement. So. And on the other issue, I think the reason for the tight requirement is also because of the high threshold that we're putting on there. So if there is a threat to human life, I think that you and every registry wants to move quickly anyway. So I don't think it's an issue of, it's not an issue of do we want to do that? I think we have to do that. I think that once we identify a threshold this high, then we cannot be slacking off and say, well, I can't, you can't reach me, therefore, it's going to take a day for this to happen. So it's a dilemma that we have to deal with. So,
thanks. Just to follow up, and this may be against my interest as an existing registry as well, but wouldn't that logic apply to existing registries as it would for new ones? And I'll put it out there because I think it's fair. If we're going to expect it of the new registries, it's probably an expectation of the existing ones as well.
So I want to differentiate between the two a little bit just because of collisions. Although collisions do happen every day, and even after you launch your new registry, there'll be new collisions that will be created. There is a difference between the two. The difference is that a collision that has been happening for a long time is our concern. When you introduce a new system, and that new system introduces new collisions, it should be the responsibility of the person introducing the system to fix that collision. So I think that there is a difference between the two cases. Although we want to make sure that over the long term we address collisions, I think that they are two different cases.
Yeah, but the example that was brought up yesterday at that session was I can have a name in a new TLD that's registered today, and then someone 20 years down the road can then say, well, that name now is causing a collision 20 years from now, which may not have actually caused the collision today or tomorrow or next year or the year after, and the same threshold applies. So if the rule was that there's a collision that was provable to have started prior to the introduction of that name when it's first registered, I think I would agree with you. But the rule as it's set is that 20 years from now, someone can report a collision from something that was just registered or that had been registered for 20 years, and the collision didn't exist when the name was originally registered. So that makes sense, and that's why everyone said the 2-year period was fine to have that rule, but now you extended that to infinitum. So I hope that made sense. I know I'm talking around in a circle here, but the example I was brought up yesterday was a name's registered tomorrow. There's no collision for a period of 20 years, and all of a sudden someone manufactures a collision or some developer is not paying attention and causes a collision that maybe it's a heart monitor that causes a threat to life, but yeah, that's not really
doesn't make sense to us to apply it.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. I saw a bunch of hands just go up. I had John in the queue. John, did you want to talk about...
Can I just make a specific point on that last point?
No, hold on. I'm going to get right to you. Sure. I just want to make sure that... Okay, so you weren't going to talk about name collisions? Okay, got it. All right, Jordan, and then I saw Ken. Who else's hand went up? Okay.
Yes, so the point I was going to make just very briefly is the one like really visible name collision instance that we've seen in the past, which is when Apple accidentally showed a bunch of porn in their store because they... Oh, sorry. The one really visible collision that we've seen in the past is when Apple displayed a bunch of porn in their Russian iTunes store when they accidentally started showing .xxx content because an Apple developer used .xxx as meaning like something like random as opposed to an actual delegated TLD with porn on it. That happened well after .xxx was delegated and due to a bug introduced by that developer. So that's a really good example of what Jeff is talking about. And it ought not to be the responsibility of TLDs that are well launched and well into their life cycle to have to try to cover up for bugs that are introduced much later into the life cycle. And those are the only really visible instances we've seen so far.
Thanks, Jordan. Ken, then Andrew.
Yeah, my big concern is that so much of this is a gray area. I think you're going to have to codify and be much more specific. And I would ask anyone who was there at this collision steal to correct me if I'm wrong. But I actually was left with the impression that if ICANN deemed these collisions to be serious enough, far enough down the road that they could actually take the entire registry down for an indeterminate period of time. And I don't think that is something that could be done without some very serious guidelines that are very strictly codified, because I don't think that you should invest somebody with the ability to make qualitative decisions like that off the top of their head. You know, just because one person or a few people feel that this may do this or this might do this, there has to be some sort of a process to ensure that this doesn't end up creating a bigger tragedy than the one that you're trying to mitigate.
Okay, thanks, Ken. So if anybody else would like to get in on the name collision discussion, feel free to raise your hand. I see Donna. John's in the queue also. Jonathan, okay. And then Akram or Cyrus or anybody wants to respond or engage on this, I'll hand the microphone happily over to you. So Andrew, then John, then I lost track. Donna, Jonathan.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly reiterate that it is a very high threshold, but it's a very vague threshold. That's like a huge problem.
Sure, thanks. John Nevitt, for the record. I just wanted to raise one issue. Now that we have a proposal that says there's no alternate path for new registries that are delegated after the approval of this, and that we have to wait 90 days to roll out the TLD, that part of the name collision report or proposal should include a fee waiver for that 90-day period, so that if we're not getting paid, you shouldn't get paid, as far as ICANN. So the ICANN fees should be waived during that 90-day period, and I would ask that you include that in the proposal. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, John. Donna?
Donna Austin. So, Akram, yesterday, Francisco said that the session yesterday was part of the public feedback that would go back to the board. So I guess a question that's outstanding is, how will you package the feedback that you've got today to go back to the NGPC? So the discussion around the infinite timeframe, what kind of information will you take back to the board? And the other question I have is, what's the trigger? So we know that the NGPC still need to consider this, but at what point in time will the trigger be that we can move forward? And how will you notify the applicants or the registries?
Sure. So we've actually shared the proposal with the NGPC on Saturday, and they recommended that they didn't want to commit to a date in London to meet because they wanted to review this before they make a decision, and they wanted to hear all the feedback from the community. The session yesterday on collision was only one of the ways we will collect the feedback from the community, but all of your feedback is going to be gathered, whether it's through this session or in other forums as well. We will collect all of that feedback, put it together, and come back to the NGPC. The NGPC is doing a doodle poll. They want to meet on have their next meeting before the end of July. So our goal is to make a decision before the end of July on moving forward with this. So shouldn't take longer than this, I hope. So if everything goes well, we should decide before the end of July. And then on how this will be communicated, it will be, we will post it, we will send it to all of the registries as an update, and maybe we should even have a webinar on that and do a Q&A. If that's interesting, we can do that as well. Okay.
Thank you, Akram. I had Jonathan in the queue, then Jordan.
Thanks, Keith. It's Jonathan. I suppose three quick points. One, I'm supportive of many of the points that have been made already, so there's no point in repeating those, but I'd like to just put some weight, further weight behind them. Two, it strikes me that occasionally it would be useful, and maybe this is something, Akram, I don't know how realistic it is for the NGPC to attend this kind of meeting, the public meeting. I mean, I think it's something that came up with the GNSO Council, with the board, that actually, to the extent that it's possible and doesn't clash with their own meetings, it would be very useful to have the board immersed in community sessions. And I don't mean to in any way impinge your ability to absorb community feedback, package it, and present it. I think that's your job, and I fully appreciate that you can do that and do it well. But nevertheless, sometimes the sentiment, the perspective, could be usefully so. To the extent that they could be there, I think that would be helpful. And finally, a specific question on, I may have missed this and maybe others have a clear view on this, but what's happening to that 25 names that are, I'm not sure whether they're called high-risk names, but there seems to be a set of names in some sort of suspended animation that aren't being dealt with here still. It'd be very good to get an update on that. Thanks.
So I think that the JS report came out with a basically three names that are very high on the collision list and everything else. So there was no differentiation between different levels of collisions, because the mitigation plan takes care of all of these the same way. So that was the differentiation between the JS report and the previous study. There were no tiering of these things. It's either too high, or this the mitigation will work on all of these TLDs.
So, Jonathan, did you have was there a second part to your question about those that are sort of like the top three, the high risk and sort of the...
I think, you know, I believe the plan for those? In the original list, there was sort of high, medium, and low, and it appears that medium and low are now merged and essentially subject to the same mitigation activity. So that's great. Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay. Thanks, Jonathan. Jordan?
Yeah, Akram, I'm curious how this interacts with the auction timelines in particular. Is there a date by which the NGPC needs to make a decision in order for the majority of the August auctions to proceed, and is it likely that the decision is going to be made before then? Because if there's not going to be August auctions, it would be good to know that sooner rather than later.
Thanks, Jordan. This is Christine. with the in light of the fact that the NGPC is not going to take action this week and we don't have a date, we will be posting this week, next week. My team tells me next week, a revised auction schedule. So we have several contention sets where applicants requested postponement until after the name collision framework is finalized that are scheduled for the August auction. Given the timing for them to schedule them, to have their third-party agreements, the agreement with the bidder's agreement signed, and to start submitting the deposits, we may not have the name collision framework finalized in time for all of that to happen before the August auction. So we intend to reschedule, I believe it's 16 contention sets from August, spread out over September and October. However, we will also give all of those contention sets the opportunity to move and stay in the August auction if so desired, if name collision finalization is no longer critical to you and everyone in the contention set agrees, then we're happy to honor the August auction date. So we'll be managing all of that when we get back from London.
So this is Jordan again. Just to reiterate that I know you've heard this from us before, but as the contention set, the number of simultaneous auctions in whenever August, September, actually as they stack up, the fact that the rounds are really short becomes increasingly problematic. And I know, like the design made perfect sense back when there weren't that many auctions per applicant happening at the same time, but it becomes really hard to imagine in a very small number of minutes getting through, you know, 20 plus auction resolutions. So it may be worth revisiting elements of the design as we continue to stack these up.
So absolutely, we appreciate that. We're not intending to schedule more at this moment, more than 20 contention sets per auction. So we're keeping that in mind. But we understand that there are some applicants that will have a large number of contention sets in those auctions. So we are aware of that. So we'll need to, if this continues to go on, we're going to need to think about that as well.
Dean, can you just clarify those two conditions for moving? If you reschedule from August to later, and then you can be brought back, providing you're all in the contention set agree, and to do with name collision, what's the other condition?
So the if the contention set wants to keep their August auction date, then all of the members of the auction, with their agreement, they submitted, we published a form a week or two ago that allows you to bring forward your auction and do it sooner rather than later. So say you have a January auction and you want to do it in August, you could submit that form and we would do that.
Thanks, John Evan. One thing about that form, it's only going one way. When the NTAG sent its letter on auctions, it requested that when the applicants have unanimity, that we should be able to pull forward or postpone. And that's only the pull forward. The postponement happens when we fill out the paperwork months and months and months in advance. So, for example, we filled out paperwork in April of 2014 for an auction that will occur in 2015. We have no idea a year in advance that maybe the applicants are getting together and want a postponement. So we would strongly encourage you, at least I would strongly encourage you, to have that form go both ways. So if all the applicants agree that they could get a short postponement, that we should do that. And if all the applicants agree to do an advancement, we should be able to do that as well. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right. Hi, this is Russ Weinstein from staff. So for the auctions that are scheduled for August and already requested postponement due to name collision, the idea was, in addition to posting the schedule, we'll send targeted messages to each of those applicants that notifying them their auction's being postponed and to which auction, either September or October, and also notifying them that if they respond by a certain date, we can still get them into the August, keep them in the August auction if everyone agrees within that set. So it'll be real clear and real targeted.
Just John again. Quick question, Russ. So just so I understand, the August ones will be split amongst September and October. So the September ones that are currently scheduled for September will stay there. So the auction the August auction ones with a better or higher draw number will be going after the ones that are currently scheduled for September.
Right. So rather than try to keep as much stability in the process and predictability as possible, so rather than disrupt the entire schedule for all the auctions, we're just trying to disrupt, I guess, the schedule for the August auctions and spread those so that we don't have a 30 contention set auction in September and get that feedback.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, John. Thanks, Russ. Okay, so just a time check. It's we have about 20 minutes left. We have a few other items on the agenda. I don't want to short circuit name collision or auction or the interrelation between the two, but if there's anybody else that wants to jump in on auctions or name collision, feel free to at this point. And if not, let's open it up to other topics, whether we want to talk about the RCEP process. I understand that that's been, you know, discussed and a concern for several folks. So anybody want to jump in on RCEP? Okay. Ray?
Okay, so my clarifying question about the RCEP is the focus of when does the 15 days start, which is a crux of the policy, you know, to bring certainty to the registry operators, to bring new products and services to market. The idea is that, you know, ICANN would have some level of accountability to make decisions within a certain period of time without going back to the entire community to rehash whatever this new service is about. That was kind of the crux of the purpose of the RCEP. So embedded in the policy is the this 15-day period where staff would make a preliminary determination as to whether the new product or service raised significant competition issues or significant issues related to security and stability. So now the question becomes, as we fast forward today, is when does that 15-day period start? Does it start at the time of submission? Now, that's been my understanding through the years of, you know, when does that 15-day start for staff? It's when the registry operator clicks submit of the RCEP. And then my recollection of the explanation, because I was kind of around when the RCEP came into existence, was staff would encourage the operators, before you click submit, you know, work with your registry operator, person at ICANN staff, liaison, by providing a copy of what you plan to submit, go through it with staff before you submit, so there's no surprises, and staff will work with you to get it all complete. And then at that point, you would click submit, and then the 15 days would start. That would be the cooperative approach that I've been familiar with in working with the RCEP. So, but as we look today, I think there's a question now as to, you know, when does this 15-day period start? So that's the clarifying point I wanted to kind of understand.
This is Krista Papik. Thanks for the question, Ray. So the 15 days starts when the RCEP is moved to ICANN review. What that means is when you submit the RCEP, I'm going to address the first part of your question first and the second part after that. So when you submit an RCEP and you have not done this cooperative engagement thing that you're talking about, or that has not occurred, you submit the RCEP, it goes into, through the RRS system, it goes into automatically into a pending completeness stage or status. Then ICANN reviews it. Looks at it. Sorry, let me use better language. ICANN looks at it to see if it's complete, and if it's not complete, we'll come back to the registry and say, "Hey, you know, your IDN tables are not complete. You forgot the policies for them. Something or other." The 15-day clock has not started. This is a back and forth in trying to get the RCEP complete to get all the information in it. Once it is considered complete, ICANN then moves it to the ICANN review stage, and that is where the 15 days starts. That's also when we post it on the RCEP page of the ICANN.org website. there's a, I forget if it's in the policy or in the implementation notes, or but somewhere in the RCEP section of the registry agreement page, it does talk about encouraging the registry operator to engage with ICANN in advance and sort of plan this out. I like the way you just phrased it, frankly, and I haven't even thought of it so much myself that way, which is before you even go into the RRS, maybe we can figure out a mechanism to work through that back and forth, because we do find a couple things. Prior to this year, or prior to the last 8 or 9 months, I think we got 8 or 10 or 12 RCEPs a year. Yeah, we're getting that a month right now. So and they're mostly coming from new registry operators. So you've got new entrants, you've got new, there's new things going on, and people who haven't really used the policy at all before or in a long time because they only used it once a year at the time. So potentially even before submitting it in the RRS, but that pending completeness stage is effectively the same thing you're talking about. It's just being done through the RRS system rather than through informal engagement.
Okay, so I've got Jeff, then Andrew in the queue.
Thanks, this is Jeff Newman. Part of the reason you're getting more requests now, obviously there's more registry, so that's an obvious reason. But another reason is that every single change has to go through that process. So whereas when the existing registries.biz is an example, if we wanted to introduce another language, we could just do it because we had a commitment to follow the IDN guidelines. We never had to get ICANN approval to introduce a new language. It was never through the RCEP process. I think you should consider something, and a lot of your RCEPs are to introduce new languages or for something else that's already been approved. If you take back the notion of coming up with a different way, for example, if I want to add a language, there's no reason that has to get posted for 30 days. If it's a language that people have implemented, the IDN tables are approved, there's no reason it has to go through all that. It seems a little just bureaucratic to make it go through a public comment period if I just want to add Italian tomorrow. So to the extent you can make something like that less of an RCEP and more of, you've agreed to all these principles in your contract, you've agreed to the guidelines, and you submit an approved table, you should pretty much just be allowed to go.
Thank you, Jeff. This is Akram. So we're looking at all the ways that we can actually simplify this process and accelerate it. Like you said, maybe there are ways where we say this is approved if you use all of these things like that. It's approved, and therefore the RCEP, even if we cannot have you submit for an RCEP, becomes just a mechanical exercise of just stamping it and moving on. But also, if we can set some guidelines, we would look into that as well. Our interest is not doing these processes and making your life miserable and our life miserable. I mean, that's not the goal here. So we are actively looking at this. I think Alan Grogan was here. He's looking at that from the contractual perspective, what we can do to simplify this. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else want to jump in the queue on this? Jordan?
Yeah, so I guess I'm confused about the 15-day period. I mean, it seems like if the point of the 15-day period is to give registry operators predictability through the process, if there is an intake into that that's totally open-ended with no timeline around it at all, which seems to be the case at the moment. Sorry. It seems like the registry operator loses all sense of predictability unless we have some better clarification around how the completeness check works. And in particular, when the completeness process takes an order of magnitude longer than the actual review process, I think the system is broken. I don't think ICANN's actually fulfilling the intent, the spirit of that policy, even if you've managed to figure out a mechanism that you think actually does fulfill the letter of that policy. So it seems like either that completeness check needs to be much better defined and have its own set of rigor around it, or it should just go away, and you should have the option of rejecting things that aren't complete during the 15-day period, and then that would be at least a decision, and then applicants would know what to do and maybe learn how to behave. But there needs to be some better process than it goes into some black hole for a long time without being even posted, and you know, for potentially much, much, much longer than the review process, and then finally we get to this fairly rapid review process, because that's just not serving the intent of the policy or the customers in any meaningful way.
Thanks, Jordan. This is Krista again. So to start, I've already said this to you guys. I'll say it again. The review process, the completeness check process was broken, and we have fixed it. So that, you know, taking exponentially, whatever the word was that you used, that was taking longer, has been fixed. And we're endeavoring to fix it. You know, we're not done fixing it. We're working through getting it more and more streamlined. And there's a number of efforts underway, but it is significantly improved. One option is, as far as completeness goes, we get a lot of incomplete RCEPs. And once people have done one or two, they've added two languages, they add a third, whatever, they get the hang of it, and it goes a lot smoother. One option is to leave it in completeness and do the back and forth there. Another option is to reject it. I appreciate what you're saying, and we can certainly consider it. People don't like when they get something that says reject on it. And I realize they're not happy with having to do what I would call like a go back as well. So it is effectually the same thing. It's just we're not calling it rejection. We put it back to them and say we're pending more information. They, you know, hopefully resolve it on the first go back, comes back, and then it goes into the ICANN review stage.
So, Jordan, really quickly, I think that the problem with the RCEP is there is this completeness check that needs to happen. The problem with tightening this up and making it more predictable is the RCEP is not predictable. We're not just talking about one set of requests. If it was only IDN requests, for example, you could say, you know, sharpen up the form, get like tables here, you know, line up every request we want so that everybody knows that they completed the form or not, right? The RCEP is a general, we don't know what we're going to be requested, what's going to be requested of us so that we can make the completeness more predictable. So that's, I think that's a nuance that I would struggle with. But maybe we can do some things on the processes we know. So maybe we can tighten up the requests that we know, like IDN request maybe can be, the form can be more tailored to that so that the completeness becomes more predictable, if that's what you had in mind.
Yeah, I think I'm just looking for predictability mostly in terms of timeliness. So I think it seems obvious to me that it should be faster to check whether something is complete than whether than to do a substantive review of it. So to say that the completeness check should take less than 15 days, and you guys commit to that, just like you commit to doing the actual review in 15 days, like that would be a great starting point. And it can just be saying like, hey, this isn't complete, and then the person can resubmit, and they still not complete. You can go back a few times if you need to, but just saying like, put some time box on that process and make sure that it should be shorter than the actual review, because it should be a simpler review than the actual review.
Okay, so I've got a queue building, and Krista wants to respond. So I'm going to have Krista respond, then I've got Ray, Chuck, and Rubens.
Jordan, thanks. That is what we're doing with the newer RCEPs. Again, we had that period of time where it was broken, and they took embarrassingly long. The completeness check, you know, it just wasn't following the path that it needed to be following. So, but that's exactly what we're doing. 15 days, or I am actually want it to get down way below that, but that's exactly what's happening.
Okay, Ray?
Thank you. Jordan articulated my thoughts perfectly, so I'm going to hand over to Chuck.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Chuck Gomes. Just a little history first. Probably well over half of the people in this room weren't even involved when this issue came to a forefront in a very contentious time in ICANN. Happened to involve us. So the predictability is a really important issue, and so I'm really glad that we're focusing on this because it's a critical issue for registry operators. And I understand in that clarification phase that you have no control over how quickly we will fix the thing that was missing or incorrect. You have no control there. So I can't really expect you to commit to a specific turnaround time. Part of that's dependent on us. But I wonder whether there could be a maximum target for a response. I don't know if it's 5 working days or something. When we do submit the information, the additional information that you requested, something like that, I think goes along with what Jordan's saying in terms of tightening it up. Again, I understand you have no control how quickly I will respond to fix what was missing or incorrect, but if we could get that tightened up, that might be a way to help, and maybe you're already doing that. I don't know.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. That's what exactly I was trying to say. So just to give an example, because I think a picture is worth a 1,000 RCEPs. You submit it to us. It's in pending completeness. We will do our completeness check and either move it to ICANN review or send you a go-back, which moves it to the pending more information stage within 15 days or less. You respond to us. So again, you know, we are waiting for you to get back to us. To your point, sometimes it's immediately, sometimes it takes months, frankly. But eventually you get back to us. It goes back to pending completeness. We endeavor, again, 15 days or less to respond to that. It goes to ICANN review, or we come back to you for more information. So we will, when we get either more new requests or more information, we are coming back to you within 15 days or less, or moving it forward.
Chuck again. Thanks, Krista. 15 days seems like a long period of time. Assuming it, because now you've already done the overall review, and it's just focusing on whether the registry responded to your to the correction that you specifically asked it to. In other words, it should be a narrower scope at that time. So it seems to me that 15 days, and are you talking 15 calendar days? Or that's, you know, still seems like a long time since the scope is narrowed. But I'll turn it to you.
Yeah. Frankly, the team is pushing for much shorter time period than that. But because we are just working through the kinks, we have a lot of new team members, et cetera. We're doing a lot of belt and suspenders in what we're doing. And so, again, today I'm committing to 15 days or less, but really the targets are much lower than that. And once we are, you know, operating and everybody's, you know, sort of up to speed, and I'm confident we'll get you some improved timelines.
And just one last comment from Chuck, okay? And that is I feel like my odds are a lot better here now than they were in the elevator earlier this morning.
Hi, Krista. Rubinsky, for the record. I would like to comment that we are not only seeing lack of predictability in the completeness review check, we are seeing lack of predictability after ICANN review, when ICANN rolls the dice and say, oh, for this one we want another public comment period or not, because there is already one public comment period already happening. So there is not only issues before ICANN review. We are seeing issues after ICANN review as well. So there is lack of predictability on both ends of the problem, not only before.
Thanks, Rubens. I understand that, and I'll go back to Akram's comment earlier. There's a lot of things about the RCEP that are not predictable. There are certain types of requests. Certain types of requests that require board review and public comment periods, and there's not necessarily a way to know that. That's a challenge for all of us. How do we, you know, figure that out? Because we don't know what we're getting until we get it, and the stuff that is newer is not sort of an established well-documented, well-reasoned precedent for, oftentimes will require this additional work that you're referring to, which is public comment periods and board reviews and things like that. So I appreciate the challenge. I'm not quite sure how we solve that quite yet, but I understand, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, first I just want to make a comment. This is a very healthy exchange. This is a very important topic, I think, for the registry group. I really appreciate this dialogue. One thing I may suggest is let's try not to make this too complicated, because the focus here is really on two matters. No matter what it is I can receive, is there a significant competition issue? Is there a significant security and stability issue? If both of those questions are no, it should be a very agnostic, neutral approach to just move forward. I think my suggestion too is to we need to continue to have these discussions. I think there are still issues with regards to what it, you know, the question of is a contract amendment needed based on whatever the request is. Is that, you know, how is it determined whether the proposed amendment is material or not material? How is that decision made? What triggers, what type of requests trigger a board review versus staff being able to process autonomously without having to go to the board. So continuing this discussion, I just wanted to say I really appreciate that your willingness to have this discussion as we move forward and get this nailed down. Very appreciated.
Okay, thanks very much, Ray. We probably need to wrap that discussion up, and we're running up on our break at this point. There's a couple of other things on our agenda, though. One, there was a question in the Adobe chat that I want to read. It may be more of a compliance question than a GDD question, but it was from Dietmar Steffitz asking, will the group look into the matter of XYZ registrations and network solutions pushing domains to accounts without permission? So that was a question in the chat.
Yes, we are aware that compliance is looking into the matter, and compliance will actually talk more about it. But we investigate almost any claims or issues that we hear about, that we see, that we get informed about, as well as complaints that come to us. So we are looking into this. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Akram. And then the last item that I think on our agenda for now is Carol Cornell, going to give us an overview on the Operational Excellence Dashboard. So with that, just want to thank, I think Akram has to leave, so I just want to thank you all very much for participating today. This has been extremely helpful and constructive. I'd like to suggest maybe that we formalize this and invite you all like this to our regular meetings, at the in-person meetings. So thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
I'm just going to do three slides to keep up. You want to do the slides? Good morning, everyone. I'm only going to spend about 5 or 10 minutes and just give you an update on some of the progress we're making on dashboards and metrics and the processes we're taking. There is a presentation that's not today, but we just thought we would cover a few topics so that you guys are aware of where we are in progressing on this effort. Can you just... Yeah. So tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning, we're going to give a whole kind of an introductory session on the processes we're developing for developing dashboards specifically. You mentioned in the meeting that I sat here and listened to about having some agreed upon metrics that you're looking at from a performance perspective. We also are working on metrics internally to help us manage our efforts. So one of the things that I'd like to say is some of the discussions you're having here, we are also having internally at finding the right key performance indicators for the key success factors that each group is looking at. Can you go forward? Stop. Oh, sorry. Could you go back two slides? So this one, as you know, we are organized in a lot of our reporting mechanisms by the four objectives, 16 goals, and this format of these four objectives and how they break out is one of the ways that we are going to be structuring a lot of the data and information. So I just think it's an awareness piece. In this case, this particular slide we took from the FY15 operating plan and budget draft that's out for public comment. So you can see that we are trying to align structurally all the information in a common format. I'm doing this in the spirit of time. I'm just kidding. Stop here, please. This is an important component of what we're doing, and this has to do with what dashboards or charts or metrics you're going to see. We're trying to make the point, and what we'd like to share a little bit is there is a lot of day-to-day data being gathered at the operational level, and we're using it for our management purposes, but we are going to try to find the right, if you will, chart to share where we're dealing with the strategic issues versus the directional issues and operational, and which ones we would show outward publicly and which ones we do to deal with our day-to-day management plan. Currently, if you were to go to ICANN's website, there is a dashboard page there, but we're actually in the process of updating and refining that and putting out a more effective dashboard effort, and the beta of that is going to be available in Los Angeles. So you will be seeing that over the next couple of months roll out and develop. If there are particular key performance indicators that you think are important, there's an opportunity to give that feedback to us, and we will take that and make sure that gets tied into the overall plan that we're building. And in the spirit of just sharing and getting that, I would just thought that was it. And if you have any particular questions or comments you'd like to provide, there's an opportunity to do so.
Donna?
Thanks, Carol. Donna Austin for the record. Is this stuff based on the current strategic plan? And what's the process moving into 2016-2020?
We are actually looking ahead, and the 4x16, as it was commonly known, was based on the strategic plan, as we have and will be incorporating into the 5-year strategic plan, which has additional elements. We will change this structure to ensure that it matches those two. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Carol. Okay, with that, I think we've reached our break time. So let's take 10 minutes and reconvene at 10:45 local time. Okay. Thanks.
Oh, that's right.
No, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be. This is where you make hands.